This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 148. A Disney movie with black people? Well, zippity-doo-dah! This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to another episode of our podcast, folks. How you doing?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Did you get your morning coffee?
Did.
Did you get your afternoon coffee?
I have had coffee all day.
That's good. I have not. And in desperate need of it, actually. I don't do as well without my Java, and I'm not...
Or your do.
Yeah, but I learned from a couple of episodes that I should not mix my do.
No, you shouldn't. Sugar and corn syrup? No.
Well, sugar and caffeine and corn syrup mixed together upon itself in a cup is not the best thing for me.
No, it's not. Because then your mouth, they keep going and going like the Energizer Bunny.
But it winds up good for you guys listening to our podcast through our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is?
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@ESH.mobi. If, however, you have some business for us, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing nights on, let me see, what is that, Monday?
Yeah, I think it's Monday.
Monday nights on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Our show airs at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. So you can check us out then, and like she said, on iTunes. But you can also check out some really great other shows on the All Games Radio Network, like Evil Avatar.
Or Dead Pics Alive.
Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Or Bobby Blackwolf Show, or Friday Night Gaming.
Ultimate Quest.
And Video Game Outsiders is okay, too.
You know, so there's all kinds of really fun stuff going on at All Games. So make sure that you stop by there when you're checking our show out. Check out a few others and let them know, if you do, that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you over there.
Because we did.
We like getting credit for our work.
Yeah, we enjoy credit.
We're not too proud to pat ourselves on the back.
No.
But actually, I usually pat Panda on the back and then...
Because I can't reach my back.
I can kind of reach my back, but that's another podcast.
That's completely different from what we're talking about right now.
Let's stay focused on our own show.
Yeah.
So first up, we got some audience participation stuff. We love it when you guys keep in track and keep in touch with us. So first up, got a friend of ours, new friend, Max Knight, who recently has joined the ranks of the Xbox Livers.
Yes. Welcome aboard, buddy.
So welcome to the family. Max is a big fan of our show, and we always like hearing about that.
We love our fans.
Yep, that gives me the big smileys. So I've got your gamer tag. Max, thanks for sending it. And you will probably be able to catch one or both of us playing around in the community. I, as everyone knows, is a massive Rock Band fan. So if you ever want to get a game together, you know, just send an invite.
Or if you like to do headshots like I do, check me out. Any first-person shooter, I'm down.
Our gamer tags are pretty much easy to figure out. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Lady Ash.
So we're on the place. Just find us. We love gaming around. So that was the first one. Second thing, as you well know, if you've been paying attention to the website, we are literally, by the time you listen to this podcast...
going to be in
LA for E3.
Yes, sir. The Esch girls are going to E3.
The sisters will be in effect in the hood.
Because we're straight out of Compton.
No, we're not. Don't even play like that. We're not even close to being from Compton.
Oh.
Come on now. Don't lie. We're from the burbs. Come on, girl.
Yeah, we're Berbers. What? Berbers?
Sorry, my brain went someplace it wasn't supposed to be.
Where did you go?
I'm fine. I'm good. I came back. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know where I went, just that I came back. All
right. Good.
But while we're there, obviously, E3 is supposed to be coming back to its roots.
Good. Going Everyone likes their roots.
Back to the way... Nah, I usually call them mine. Anyway, going back to trying to be the big expo, all-inclusive, fun thing that it was. So, not only are the booth babes back, but supposedly the swag is coming back.
The swag is back. Yes!
So we are on a mission to gather up as much good swag as possible. So, no bouncy balls or things like that. We're talking quality lanyards, t-shirts, and other things, people. Woo-hoo! And after we get some good stuff and we pick out what we want, because we get first dibs, I already called it, we're going to put some together for you guys. I haven't figured out exactly how we're going to give it away yet, but we are. So be on the lookout for swag. And post about swag throughout our time next week in LA.
Wait, are we going to autograph the swag?
Some of it we might.
Okay.
Like some of the t-shirts we might make a little Sharpie indentation on.
Alrighty.
So it could definitely be fun. And then the last thing I have on the participation piece is we got an email in from one of our friends, Vicious. And Vicious was listening to an episode we did a little while back and was doing some research on our site. And he explained the research that he did using the search tool that we have on our website. He looked for results regarding different mecha animes.
Yes.
So he's like, using your own search, I searched for the word Gundam and found hundreds of results. I searched for Mecha and found hundreds of results. He goes, I searched for Overman King Gainer and found 2 results. He goes, but I searched for Gurren Lagann and found none.
Oh.
And he's like, I know you have at least heard the whispers about Gurren Lagann.
We have.
So what's with
Vicious.
The criminal oversight about it? And then he gets into Valkyria Chronicles as well. But, then he says that he has to weep. So first of all, quit your bitching. Stop your weeping. Buck up, boy.
Yeah, grow some... Well,
no, we're not going to go there. But what I will say is this. The reason why we haven't talked about Gurren Lagann yet is because, in all honesty, I'm not a fan. Which is a piece of it. Panda hasn't seen any of it yet.
No, I have not, but I want to.
But I'll share with you some of my first impressions of Lagann, because I've done 9 episodes in the first arc, and just because it's on Sci-Fi and it comes on literally right after Star Trek sometimes, I've caught a few episodes in the second arc on Sci-Fi. So here is a little bit about Gurren Lagann. It just tries my patience. Here's the thing about Gurren Lagann, okay? I really wanted to like it. I did, because the art style is very interesting to me. It's kind of the art style of Eureka 7.
Uh-huh.
Which was the thing that I liked
about it. I like Eureka 7.
Well, the art style was the only thing I liked about Eureka 7. And I think it's the reason why I'm not a big fan of Lagann, is because Lagann, the lead character, and pretty much the story, reminds me way, way too much of Naruto, which, as you know, I'm not I'm not the biggest fan of. And so the main character is the reluctant hero. He's the little brother of another character, and they have combining robots, although they didn't necessarily know at the beginning. No, they don't. There's no nakedness. There's no awkward posing. Or anything like that.
Good.
Except that his older brother wants him to learn the manly way of combining.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the first few times that he tries to combine, he, like, the older brother rejects him. He's like, no, do it the right way. We're not doing it at all. And he's like getting his ass whooped.
Uh-huh.
But he's like, okay. Won't let him combine unless he like does it in exactly the right way. And they spend like hours at a time practicing in the desert on how to combine the manly way.
As opposed to the unmanly way?
Yeah. And so the story is basically about a colony of people broken up. Some that are forced to live underground, and the chosen few that are allowed to live above ground with this big overseer guy who's a pain in the ass, and, you know, as most overlords are. And so that struggle structure I enjoy, but I just wasn't a big fan of how the story was told. Now, when I ended up seeing a couple of episodes in the second arc after a lot of things have happened from the first one, I enjoyed the second arc more. The second arc seemed more to me like the first run of Gundam Seed.
Okay.
And so it was a little more mature, and it seemed just a little more focused. Like, the first arc seemed to me like it was trying too hard to do fan service, but make it make sense, and it didn't. So I'm not saying that it's bad, I'm just saying it's not my cup of tea, which is why we haven't really talked about it.
All right, well that makes sense, I guess.
And then as far as Valkyria Chronicles goes, I just haven't got a copy of it yet to play it. I mean, I'd like to play it, there are a lot of people that seem to enjoy it. I'd like to try it. I'll try any game at least once. Including RPGs. And then after that, I just kind of go...
Stop ragging on the RPGs.
I'm not ragging on the RPGs. They're just not my cup of tea.
Well, you need to stop ragging on them because they haven't done anything to you.
Yes, they did.
What did they do?
Final
did they
Fantasy
steal your lunch
VII
monies?
Stole my life.
Did they steal your Pokemans?
No. Final Fantasy VII stole 80 hours of my life.
Like you were doing anything with them.
I was.
What were
Shenmue
you doing?
2 took 40 hours of my life. 4 discs on the Dreamcast, son of a bitch. 4! Why did it have to be 4?
I don't know.
So anyway.
I'm sorry.
No, you're
I
not.
Apologize on behalf of RPGs.
Okay. Now, at the same time, since we're on the RPG tip, and this kind of loops back into our overall theme of E3 today, you know about Final Fantasy, right?
Yes.
The new game.
The one that's like the 3 coming out all relatively around the same time, but
yeah,
the one you
but
really
you know what
play
the,
is...
But do you know what that time is? There are big, big, big signs in downtown LA on the sides of buildings right now.
Really?
That say when it's coming out.
When's it coming?
2010.
That's not so bad.
2010. That's not 2009.
No.
That's
so you're saying that Square Enix was lying again?
I'm saying that their estimates early on were off.
But only by 1 year as opposed to, well...
That's still too much. And even though they're doing that, they're not doing the localization work.
What? Really?
Yeah. Because if they were going to do that, then it would probably be more like 2011. And they haven't said when in 2010, so I mean, it could be holiday of 2010, which really they might as well just come out and say 2011.
They probably will release it during the holiday season.
Yep. So, that's okay. That's more money for me to spend on other things that are actually going to come out this year. Or that are out now. So... I'm going to talk a little bit about some pressing news. And this originally wasn't on the deck for today, but, you know, when things get leaked, we like to talk about them whenever we can.
Oh, man, when there's leakage, we are right there.
Ew.
What?
Speak for yourself.
At least I didn't say anal leakage.
Well, you did now.
Yeah, but...
Huzzah for you.
Aw, poop.
Do you kiss your mother with that mouth?
No.
Because you don't kiss your mama.
That's right.
You're an awful daughter.
Kissing moms is...
You know what? Be careful.
I love moms.
That's right.
That's
she
all I'm going to say.
Up, so there you go. You got to love your mom.
I love my mom.
All right. Anyway, As I was saying, talking about things leaking. If you haven't heard by now, you definitely ought to get on the interwebs because there's kind of, sort of, a tiny little leak that's come out. Well, actually, there's kind of two. The first one we're going to talk about is going to be on the PS3 side.
Uh-huh.
Actually, PSP side. Although it does work with the PS3, so I guess it's kind of, they work together. So, somebody released an episode of Core, which if you're a PlayStation 3 member and for whatever reason, you pay the subscription fee to subscribe to Sony's high-def content video magazine for PS3 users. Core is that episode. Q-U-O-R-E.
Yes.
Well, they released it a little bit early. See, it was supposed to come out next Thursday.
But it's already out already?
Yeah. And, oops, it shows off the new PSP. You know, the one that Sony keeps saying they're not making?
The one that actually is made?
Yeah.
And they were lying again?
That they're probably going to be announcing as a surprise at their
E3. Surprise! They leaked it.
Surprise! You know, it's bad when you have to leak your own stuff to draw up hype.
Wow, that's pretty pathetic.
But it's out. So here's the thing. I know that you've seen the video. And
I have seen
pieces of the video, as well as taking a look at some of the screenshots on the web that are out there. So if you want to see the new PSP Go, you should definitely take a look at it. Now, here's the interesting things about
the PSP.
No,
I don't get, why is it PSP Go? Because the PSP is already portable, so it already goes where you're already going. So you're just saying PSP Go, which doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Well, let me help you make some fucking sense.
All right, so, I like fucking sense. Let's do it.
Let's talk about some fucking sense. So The PSP Go, the reason why it's called the Go is it is a little bit thinner than the current PSP. Because it does not have a UMD slot. So it does not use the Universal Media Discs, which were neither Universal really media discs as much as just game discs. Because the movie sales on those things went real quick. So it doesn't use that anymore. So the rumor is that everything that you're going to put on it is going to be through a DLC.
Really?
Yeah. And either that's going to be a store directly available to you through the PSP or through the PSN network, which is part of the reason why Sony's been trying to hype up that they're developing that network interface for more things than just the PS3. It's because it's probably going to be here on the PSP Go. And you'll actually download content, games, directly to the Go. And then when you run out of storage on it, more than likely, have to store some of those things back onto your PS3 hard drive. Because it's rumored right now that the model that they're showing off in the episode of Core is a 16 gigabyte model.
As opposed to
Destructoid had some hints that were thrown their way back in March about the PSP Go, and they said that they, or at least their source said that there would be two SKUs, that there'd be an 8 gigabyte model and a 16 gigabyte model.
Okay.
Now, with the prices of those internal drives, which it would probably use a netbook drive or even flash media, it's very possible that they may still be doing two SKUs, but that those SKUs would be more in the realm of 16 gig and 32 than 8 and 16, especially if you're looking at going strictly to just DLC. But I think that this is an interesting move for Sony because it will put them back, I think, in the ring of trying to be a contender on the portable gaming model right now. Because the landscape in portable gaming is definitely changing. You know, you look at things that are becoming really popular right now, and there's no disputing the iPhone as a very intriguing mobile game option. And it's got a store that's built in, the new software that's coming out later on this month, allowing developers to charge for and basically do microtransactions within the games. EA has said that they're very interested in the platform and they're doing more things on it right now. And so to have a device that gives you games plus internet, not just browsing, but also, you know, email and that constant contact stuff, especially social media aspects of it, you tie that all together in a device that fits in your pocket, and you've got a very lucrative little model going for you and a little business that's available to you. So many of my big complaints about the PSP, as you know, I have one, has always been managing content. Because holding on to a bunch of UMD discs is never sexy. There's no...
I know. Where the heck do you keep all of yours?
I actually have a specific backpack that I use when I take my PSP places because it's got a deep pocket that I can actually stack them all in their cases because it's just a pain in the butt. I mean, there's no neat way to keep them that doesn't take a shitload of space. And that's always been a big problem of mine. And when you move to being able to move some content from the PS3 to the PSP, I was like, yes, but, you know, I still had a butt hanging on the end. So the PSP
yeah, big one.
You know what? I will bitch slap you through the internet.
Please don't. You know that was funny. You would have made the same joke.
I probably would have. This is true. But seriously, I'm very interested in the PSP Go because I think that it could be a winner. I'm really concerned, though, about the slide screen. I know slide screen phones look great, and they're definitely going after that look. And the design
of the... Yeah, do you think that's really beneficial to the portable for them to make it look more and more like a phone?
Well, I don't know if it's beneficial or not. I think that it'll definitely get a lot of attention of the 18 to 34 crew. Well, specifically the 18 to 24 crew. You know, those people that stick by their sidekicks, you know, just because they get that, I don't know why it's satisfying, but when they flip and kick that screen out, they're like, yeah, I'm fly! Bam! There's my screen. It's like, I guess it's the equivalent of having Lamborghini doors on something when you're too broke to own a Lamborghini, let alone have Lamborghini doors on it.
Although then we should start putting sliding panels on regular things to make them really awesome, like... Sliding pan toast. You just slide. Oh, wow, it's got a keyboard on it, and I can eat it because it's toast.
Well, I mean, you're not too far off. I mean, look at how many people bling out their rings and put spinning fake rims on their cars.
Look at my diamond. It spins.
My diamond. My belt buckle spins, motherfucker.
I don't even know who would be looking at a belt buckle anyway.
You'd be surprised.
You're supposed to take belts off, not worrying about if they're spinning.
I'm not going to answer that question.
Well, I'm just saying.
I appreciate you saying that. But I think that the slide screen thing, it just gives me a little bit of pause because just knowing how many issues I've had with things with screens like that, you know, that's one of the first things that could go wrong that's a serious hardware thing, you know. But it's not like Sony's reinventing the wheel either here. So I'm really glad
to see
that. Well, they're not. I mean, basically, if you take a look at their other portable device, the Milo device that they announced a while back at a CES, which is supposed to be your personal information, basically a big-ass PDA with a sliding screen, it looks like they just took a Milo and took out the keyboard guts and put in the game control guts. Because it's almost the exact same size, same shape. You know, so I will say that right now I'm really looking forward to Sony's press briefing because I really want to see this thing up close. I want to hear what their thoughts are behind this guy and how they're going to push this. But more importantly, I'm really interested in the delivery system for content.
Wow.
And then what kind of expansion you're going to do because flash media is getting really cheap. I mean, you can get, you know... 32 gigabyte flash cards now. It's ridiculous what you can get just depending upon what you want to come out of pocket with. So I would really like to see Sony get back and really become a contender in the mobile game unit because Nintendo's pretty much gone unchallenged and Apple's biting a little bit.
The DS is still really awesome. And granted, yes, the DSi is the balls, but I mean, hello?
Well, I just think I'm a big believer in that competition breeds creativity, and it can create ingenuity. And I'd really like to see the mobile industry for gaming get that, because I feel like we've just been rehashing the same thing over and over again for the last 3 years. Like, it really wasn't until you have the iPhone and app stores, even BlackBerry's app store, where you've got a different way of getting games, playing games, and interacting with them on different platforms. And so I'd really, really like to see Sony get back into this and become a contender and see how they affect how people either change what they're already doing or develop forward with what they're already doing.
I don't know. I mean, yes, like, looking at the site and seeing some of the video, I mean, it does, you know, aesthetically, to those who carry around phones and, you know, BlackBerries and all that jazz, I mean, yeah, it looks easy to pick up, easy to learn, but I think it's just an aesthetic trick. I think it's going to fall flat on its face.
Well, I mean, there are things that are going to aid that if it happens. I mean, we don't yet know what the price is going to be. We don't yet know what the
content delivery. Oh, you know it's going to be more expensive than an original PS3.
I hope that it's not. Because
yeah, but it's going to be.
In
it's
this
Sony.
Economy, it's not, that won't fly. It won't fly. I mean, it just won't. To be competitive, it's got to be priced around where the DSi is. I think that if you do anything higher than 189,
oh, I think it's going to be higher than 189. Easy.
I hope that it's not. I mean, when you take a good look at that guy, I mean, it doesn't look like it's hard metal. So it just looks like it's plastic composites.
Yeah, but couldn't we be worried that it would break easily?
Not if it's a good hard plastic. I mean, the DSi isn't metal. Are you worried about it breaking?
Well, no, but then again, I snuggle with it at night and read it bedtime stories. It doesn't leave my side. Well, it doesn't, really.
But,
I have yet to name him. I feel really bad.
I have a very funny image in my head right now that I'm just going to let that go. But I think that it could be very doable.
Simon.
I don't even... Okay. I think that it would be very doable for Sony to come out with a PSP aggressively priced in the realm of the rest of the mobile handheld market. Because, I mean, the DSi really wasn't that big of an upgrade over the DS.
It wasn't really. And there was, you know, the detractions from it because you can't play your original, you know...
Well, at some point in time, you've got to start moving away from backwards compatibility just so that you can save yourself some money on the cost of development up front. And I understand that completely. So in all honesty, it was really about time for Nintendo to stop making their devices backwards compatible to your original Game Boy cartridges. Anybody that has those still either has a working original Game Boy or they have a Game Boy SP or Advance, which will still let you play those guys.
And if you're a hardcore Nintendo person, you've got them all.
Well, I still have both my original Game Boy as well as a Game Boy SP that allows me to play those original cartridges. Because there's nothing better than playing the original Tetris. There's just nothing.
Tetris is the balls.
Yeah, that and, you know, Paperboy. And I'm good for life. I can't even express my joy over thinking about playing those games. But there really hasn't been a massive redesign or advancement in games or how you play them between, really, if you think about it, the Game Boy SP and the DSi. I mean, the cartridges have gotten smaller on the DSi, but you're still playing the cartridge-based game. You have the ability to get downloadable content now on the DSi, which is something you couldn't do on the DS. But, you know, WiiWare has existed on the Wii for a while. Download content has existed on the other platforms. So that's really not a big movement in the platforms. It's great that it has it. There needs to be more content. I mean, the Wii titles, or I should say the DSi titles that are available from the Nintendo store right now are kind of lacking. Like,
They are. I checked.
There's really not a whole lot that makes you want to come up out of points pockets to put things onto your DSi. So they still have a long way to go. And I think that Sony getting in and being aggressive in their marketing and their pricing could really light the fire under Nintendo to kind of step up and go, hey, we can't let this PSP Go thing strop all our thunder. So what are we going to do here to make sure that we don't lose too much? You know, I think that that competition would be great. Because right now Nintendo's pretty much kicking back going, yeah, people still want Wiis and can't find them all the time. And we're just selling DSIs even in the recession. You know, we're good. Fuck it. And that complacency, I think, really kind of shows when you really take a look at the difference between what the DSi is and the DS is. Okay, the stereo speaker, woo, tell the fucking la la la. I'm not going to lie, I have a DSi.
I have a DSi. Is yours black too?
Yes. And I enjoy my DSi tremendously, but it's not that much different than my DS. Like, it's not a completely different experience.
And wait, you have your DS still, too?
No, I sold my DS when I got my
DSi.
Right,
for your DSi.
Yeah, but there's no difference in my gameplay between my DS and my DSi.
Right.
I think that there would be a difference between the PSP Go and the PSP.
Well, since they're not using the UMDs anymore.
Exactly. So just the delivery of games, how you get and interact with them can be much different.
Yeah, but do you think that's enough to launch Sony into, you know, that zone where they're trying to get with the PSP? I mean, I don't think it will help them at all. I really don't.
I think if they do it right, if they are aggressive in their pricing, which means they're going to have to kind of get away from this we're the premium console maker idea and come back to the we are the premium console maker, but not at a premium price. I think that if they're aggressive, if the PSP Go drops, because the titles that they're talking about having is, they've already talked about a Gran Turismo title for it, and I think they've even hinted at a Metal Gear title for it.
Really?
Yeah, it was Metal Gear or something else. I can't remember which one it was, but definitely the Gran Turismo one, because I remember reading that. But if you have a Metal Gear downloadable separate story ready to go for the PSP Go, or you have a really interesting Gran Turismo title ready to go for the PSP Go that are aggressively priced around the price of what you expect to pay for DLC. So if they're going to go on a point system, which they probably will, if you're looking at these titles anywhere between the $9 to $19.99 range, and you have those things ready to go from the get-go, and you employ the game, internet, email, social media stuff, with that platform, I think that you have a contender. I don't think that they'll overnight wipe the floor with Nintendo.
I think Nintendo's for the win.
Nintendo's going to be for the win because Nintendo is designed and marketed for a completely different group. Okay, there aren't still a lot of mature titles for Nintendo. So Nintendo is the safe bet for parents and their kids. And people are always having kids. People like having sex. That's cool.
People like sex. People like kids. Nintendo likes kids.
Okay, I mean, so that's always a safe bet. But those kids do eventually...
I'd assume so, I guess. Indirectly, through logic, it would.
Well, I mean, if you take a look, I mean, those Goombas got to come from someplace.
And don't forget Lisa Shoot Larry.
Okay, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got to like sex a little bit.
So, but all the jokes aside, I mean, if you think about it, those gamers do eventually grow up. They become more mature.
And that's when they have 360s or PS3s.
Right, but there are those of us that also have commutes where we're sitting in cars and we go traveling and are looking for something to do when we're not in control of things. When I'm on a plane, I'm looking for something to do so I can get through the time. And there's not enough music in the world, I don't care how diverse your tastes are, to be enough of a distraction for, a five-hour flight. So
you had to bring up flying, right?
I think that Sony has an idea. They have a spark. Depending upon how they play this, I think that they can become and regain some of this ground. I don't think that they will become, you know, it'll become a 50-50 deal in the market share. But I would really like to see them, you know, become at least a 30% piece of it. I think that that would be enough to really excite people developing for Nintendo and people developing games for other platforms, mobile platforms, like the iPhone, like the BlackBerry App Store, and smartphones just in general. I think that that would be a great impetus. I think the only loser is going to be, you know, us on the pocket side, because we're going to be broke.
Because we're not going to have money to buy all this shit.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a place that I'd rather be than pretty much, if you're going to play games mobily, you're looking at a Nintendo system. And that's not a comfortable place for me to be.
Really?
So I'm hopeful, Sony. I am even more so now looking forward to this briefing early in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, let's not even talk.
Well, okay. Nintendo's is before then, and I'm looking forward to their briefing. So that kind of segues really into the nuts and bolts of the show, which is what we're looking forward to seeing at E3. I already talked about one of mine, this PSP information. I'm looking forward to it.
What about you? I'm looking forward to E3 altogether.
Well, that's a big duh.
Well, duh.
Yeah, like pretty that? Much like that,
is
yeah.
Bigger, is it, do you, bigger? Should be no. bigger than that?
No, I think that's good. Big duh. That's a pretty big duh. I think that's about the right size.
Okay, good.
But what are some of the things you're looking forward to? Because I know we've been talking pretty much back and forth all week.
Believe it or not, I think really out of all the email, all of us, you know, all the booth visits that we've been really, you know, dying to get and confirming with, I'm actually looking forward to visiting with Natsumi. Not that they confirmed with us, but I kind of liked Harvest Moon as a game, and I know they've got some more interesting things to show us, or me, since I probably will be stalking them a little bit.
Oh, just a tiny bit.
And I'm also kind of excited to see what Turtle Beach has to offer, and also Triton. They're the two big headset for gaming, you know, people who are going to be there, and I really want to see what makes them so different. And I want to know who's going to win. Like,
yeah, because they're kind of like in a very serious versus battle right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of want to see Turtle Beach first. Only because I've heard a lot of stuff about them, and I've seen some of Triton's headsets because I was watching Ultimate Gamer.
Yeah, I was about to say they were sponsored.
I mean, but I've heard a lot of stuff about Turtle Beach, but I haven't actually seen a lot of stuff from Turtle Beach.
Turtle Beach has been doing headsets and gear for a long time, and I've actually used some of their stuff, and they make great quality stuff. I haven't had a lot of impetus to buy any of their stuff. I think that you'll enjoy both booth visits, but definitely spend some time trying to figure out where they differ. Because for me, right now, I can't.
That's what I want to know.
Other than Turtle Beach, pretty much uses blue LEDs when they put on LEDs, and Triton uses orange. It's pretty much
well. But no, I mean, I'm really looking forward to those, especially because, I mean, I've had my run-in with headsets, as we know, here in Eshland.
You kill more headsets than a little bit.
I kill so many headsets, and you know, I don't game that hard.
I had 6 headsets died last year in your possession.
I need a headset that can stick it. well, I'm going to rephrase that. I need a headset that can withstand my gaming stamina. Which didn't sound any better, but yeah, I'm going to stick with that because.
Okay, good.
So,
I like your courage.
Turtle Beach, Triton, bring it on. May the best headset win.
But also check out some of the other stuff that they're doing, because I know that they do some interesting things with putting entire sound cards actually into the USB dongles that you use to connect to the computer, so that way.
You said dongles.
Yeah, I did say dongles. Because that's what they are. And I'm really kind of interested in those because I know that Razer's actually doing that as well with a couple of their headsets that they're getting ready to come up with.
That was the saddest death of headsets was my Razer.
I was so upset about you killing that headset.
I didn't kill it. It died naturally in its sleep.
No, you killed it. It's like you have Munchausen proxy.
I'm a serial head. Set murderer.
You are. I mean, you just kill them all the time.
I kill headsets.
And they never die in the same way twice.
No, they don't. They all die differently.
Well, at least you're creative.
Dunk, dunk.
But, I'm interested in that more and more companies that are doing their higher-end gaming headsets are starting to include the hardware complete hardware setup with the headset. So, you know, one of the ones that I was interested in from Razer, you could actually program in the surround sound, which areas needed to be more intense than others. And that traveled actually on the hardware, so that if you went out to a gaming competition and you had to use their hardware, that you could bring your hardware setup, in essence, as a storable macro on this controller.
So, macros. I love when you talk tech.
So definitely check out and see what Triton and Turtle Beach are offering on those tips, because I'd really like to kind of compare where what they're doing with what Razer's doing and see if everybody on the industry on this side is really trending
towards
that.
Not to mention, I'm looking forward to seeing what the price points look like, to see if you can get the most for your money, especially because, you know, of the recession.
And you're not having a job.
And, yes, and the me not having a job.
Right. I'm just making sure that
you just had to go and remind me.
I just wanted to make sure that we were clarifying statements.
I was, yes.
But yeah.
Price points are going to be very, very key, something I'm definitely going to be looking forward to while I'm doing my booth visits, because I want to make sure that poor gamers who don't have jobs like me can still get the best.
For their mother's money.
For their parents, not just moms. Dads give out monies too. Don't forget aunts, birthdays, presents, money. It happens. So wherever that income is coming from, we got to put it to good use, people. And I'm looking for bargains for you and for myself.
Right. Well, and you do have to be on the eye for bargains. There's a bunch of places that I'm actually really, really excited to go to. And at the top of that list is Beatles Rock Band.
Yes, I can't. We're doing that one together, aren't we?
We are doing that one together.
I can't wait for that. I'm excited.
Yep. And we're probably going to have an interview to share with you guys as well with one of the producers of the game. So I'm really excited about that, because I have some questions about, you know, first of all, what kind of device are they making to hold all of the buttloads of money that they're going to make?
I think they call them vaults.
Is it like going to be like vaults, the Scrooge McDuck bank, where the whole thing is just like a big vault?
Okay, we both know that if we had a giant vault full of coins and if you went to go dive into it, you would get head damage. know it.
I'm sure they're going to use paper money.
You get paper cuts. That's worse, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're not going to make enough money that they couldn't do some like liquid money and still have some of the paper stuff.
Because if it was liquid money and you jumped in it and you were swimming, when you got out, you'd still have money on you. So then you'd have less money every time you went swimming. That's fucking bullshit.
The Beatles Rock game is pretty much going to print money. I think that it is going to be one of the most successful selling games for Harmonix and MTV Games that they've ever done. The pre-orders right now are ridiculous. They're going to have trouble keeping up fulfilling the pre-orders, let alone the poor suckers like me that want to walk into a store and just be like, yeah, I just need to get the Rickenbacker controller and one of the
glitches. Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
I really don't see that happening, you know, before January.
Yeah, me neither.
Which sucks, but that's okay, because I'll have my hands on time with the Beatles Rock Band game.
You're going to have your hands all over that shit.
I am. I'm pretty much not going to put the controller down until they tell me I have to.
Like, it was nice for you to visit, Ninja. We need the back now.
I just need to finish. Help. Don't. All right. It's just let go! Pretty much.
And you're small, so they can lift you out of there. And please don't make a scene.
I'll try not to make a scene. But I'm really excited about it. You know, when you look at the Beatles Rock Band as a whole, and I'm a Rock Band fan to begin with, and I make no bones about that. But when you look at the game as a whole, you look at the time that's been put into it, the content that's been put into it, you know, I mean, the website really hasn't changed all that much content from when it went live, but there are people that check back every day to see if there's just a new tiny graphic that they've added. The newsletter stuff is really great. The promotion stuff that they've been doing for it's great. And the content is so well known. I mean, this is going to be a party starter Rock Band was already
for it.
I know, but Rock Band was already a party starter. But if you can think of being able to go in and now do, I mean, me, I want to play Sun King. I want to play it all the time. It's been a while since I've been this excited about a game, so definitely it's one of the ones that I'm looking forward to, and I'm thankful that we were able to get hands-on time with it. I just have some questions about how not only the idea came around, because I'm sure that as soon as they started doing the branded Guitar Hero games, they started throwing up bands up and down the walls of who they'd like to get and who would make a great branded game. But I really want to know how long it took to get everybody in agreement, because there's a lot of estates involved that had to sign off and say yes, okay. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that had to say yes, because without one of them, it wouldn't have happened. So I'm really interested in that process and how that came to happen.
Well, we'll find out.
I'd like to know how that come to be.
Well, we'll find out, and then we'll be able to tell them.
I'm also excited about a few other titles, and I'm sure all of you guys are excited about them as well, and have heard about
Prototype.
Them.
Prototype.
A Prototype is definitely on the list.
Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, Assassins is also another one that I'm sure is on many
really awesome lists. Other games.
But I've got Brutal Legend on my list. The more and more I see of this game, the more and more I'm like, yes, God, please come out soon. So it's high on the list. And it's not just because I'm a Jack Black fan, because I am.
Oh, really?
Look, we've talked about it. I'm down for the core of D forever. But I just think that it pokes fun at itself enough
that it's cool.
That it is going to be fun. And, you know, it's from the makers of Monkey Island. So, I mean, come on. Come on. You know, it's got to be funny. And I like that. I like it when a lot of time is put into the creative elements, not just the gameplay. But the gameplay looks tight, too. Also, Arkham Asylum, which
Arkham Asylum is the big one. I'm very much looking forward to that, man.
And it's been a while since I've been excited about a PS3-only title.
Oh, it really is
PS3 exclusive? Well, no, not really. I mean, it'll eventually be on the other guys. But for right now, they're talking PS3 first.
Of course.
And I'm fine with that. But I really want to play it. I mean, Harley looks amazing. We've talked about her before. But I like that more and more games are starting to trend towards the open sandbox model, which I love. Pretty much any and everything. Go where you like. And here are the things you have to do when you want to complete the story. But otherwise, do whatever you like. Like, with Batman, I think that that's a great title. Great property that you can allow a player to either just try to go for the brute strength model or to really try to get in the thought pattern of Batman and try to outthink your
opponents.
Yeah,
because can't you play Batman or play the bad guy this time?
Yep.
They give you the option?
You supposedly eventually get the option of choosing how you want to play. If you want to play as Batman or if you want to play as the Joker. I don't know if that comes in after completing the Batman saga or not, but I think that it's really interesting that you get to pretty much, you know, be Two-Faced. You get to flip the coin. Are you the good guy or are you the bad guy? And even when you're Batman, you get to make some judgment calls that, you know, are you
either...
You get
to question your morality. Are you going to be a good guy or a bad good guy?
You know, and I enjoy those kinds of things because I like walking that line whenever I'm playing a video game. You know, like with Infamous, I'm desperately trying to get my cash together to pick it up because I like that depending upon what you do, it'll affect how your story ends. Just like I've got to go back.
I love games that do that.
Just like I've got to go back now after reading about Mass Effect 2, I've got to go back and re-rent Mass Effect 1 and finish it.
Finish it!
And the reason why is they've come out and said that depending upon how you finish the first game, you have to use your... Or you don't have to, but it's better to use your save game when you load the second one because it'll pick up some of your traits. And that's how you start the game. So, like, I've spent a lot of time building up some of my abilities And the idea that I can, from the first game, carry those across to my new character in the second game makes me a happy camper. So I gotta finish that off. And obviously the Ninja Gaiden game, because I am a ninja.
Well, yes.
So those are some of the big titles that I'm interested in seeing. But there are also some little guys that I want to come by and see. We've gotten a lot of emails from companies that make peripherals.
I know, peripherals. They want us touching their shit.
Both hardware-wise and things like skinning systems. I can't count anymore how many emails I get from companies that are making skins for consoles or portables and things like that. So I wanna check those guys out too, because I'm all for stuff looking sexy and mostly making it easy for me to get the dust off of things when I do have company come over.
When
I do. I don't always entertain guests because they tend to break stuff and spill beer on things. But
I don't spill beer. I drink it in my mouth. What?
Anyway.
Speaking the truth.
But I'm really interested in seeing some of the peripherals that have come up there. There are some interesting guitar peripherals that some companies have been working on. There are some also interesting chair peripherals, like the Ultimate Game Chair. I was looking at their press release, and I want to see what else that they've got going, because I've been trying desperately to get some samples in from Pyramat on some of their game chairs for over a year now, and just haven't been able to do it, and I really have a problem recommending chairs and big peripherals, big ticket peripherals, if I haven't tried it out first. Because I can write a great sounding press release like anybody else, but until you put your butt in a chair, you don't know if it's comfortable.
Well, then you know what? We need to put our butts in some chairs.
We're going to put our butts in some chairs, and we're going to do it for you guys.
Yeah, and ourselves.
Because, you know, walking around the show floor is going to be...
We're going to be tired a couple of times.
A little tired. But I'm also interested in the charity event that's going on right now, and I'm really, really glad to see that...
See, gamers aren't selfish. We do charities, too.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I think is a really bad stereotype that the gaming community has inherited.
That we're lazy fucks who live in our mom's basement.
And I, you know what? That's not really the case. That's not the community.
We redo the basements, you know, so they're like apartments.
You're not helping the cause.
Oh, my bad.
So basically, if you're going to be at E3, if you were somehow able to score an invite, if you're going to be in the building, definitely find Justin Wong, because he has paired up with Evil Controllers, who do modded controllers for the Xbox 360. And they do some interesting mods, by the way. But Justin has paired up with them, and he's basically playing games, playing against anybody that wants to enter his little contest for all 3 days of the convention. And for every person that challenges Justin, Evil Controllers has offered to donate one canned good to the St. Mary's Food Bank Alliance there in California. And for anybody that beats Justin, they don't get a pony. What is it with you and ponies? You need to get off the pony. Stop riding the pony. Get off the horse. Drugs are bad, okay?
Wide horse. Oh, wait, that's drugs.
Yes. But if you beat Justin, then Justin's going to donate 10 cans. And they're going to just keep tallies throughout the entire show. And I just think that it's really great because, you know, when I was at E4All, Triforce was there and then paired up with Steve Wiebe and...
Wiebe!
A couple of other
companies. Is Wiebe going to E3? Haha, I made it funny.
Yes, Steve Wiebe will be there and will be trying to...
talk to him?
No, he's going to be kind of busy trying to beat and become the King of Kong yet again.
Oh, again.
So, yeah, because Billy's kind of got it right now. But, so he's going for it. And watching somebody hit the kill screen is amazing, by the way. Anyway, he will in fact be there, trying to once again become the King of Kong, which will be cool. But it just reminds me of the charity event that they were doing at E4All, trying to get together canned goods and donate them, for the homeless. I think that more and more events like this surrounding gaming conventions, anime conventions, tech conventions in general are great. I think that anybody that can take just a little bit of fame that they put together for being part of the community, to turn that around and use that to do something good for the community, and not just your own small community, but the greater good, I think is a wonderful thing. So I am definitely going to try my hand a few times to take out Justin, which is not going to happen because, you know, he's an amazing gamer.
It doesn't matter because the handful of times we'll give 5 cans to people who need to eat food.
Exactly. So I'm happy to do it and be completely embarrassed and lose.
So it doesn't matter that you lose. Losers can help too.
Well, even when you lose, you win. And,
yes,
and
exactly.
For anybody that's playing, you will be entered into a sweepstakes to win some game goodies that they're going to be giving away. So, ooh. I mean, it's good on a bunch of points. So if you're going to be at the convention center, definitely search out Justin and Evil Controllers. And try your hand at a game or two. Who knows? You might win, you know, and beat Justin Wong. And you'd be like, not only did
you
I do some good, I beat...
as opposed to one.
Justin Wong. What? So we talked a little bit about gadgetry on the PSP tip. We definitely talked about gaming. We talked a little bit about anime with the Gurren Lagann thing. I do have one other thing that was brought up with another one of our audience guys. Who wanted to know if we were aware of the anime series Utaware Ramono because he thought that we might like it because it was a good, deep
story. I've heard the name. I've never been able to say it. And I have yet to watch it.
Okay. So, to Dunker, we do appreciate letting us know about a good series. And if you've got any tips or anything that you'd like us to take a look at, you can definitely send those suggestions to questions@esh.mobi. But as far as Utaware Ramono goes, I have seen it. I've seen all of Utaware Ramono.
And?
Absolutely love it. It's by far in my top 5.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch this.
As far as series goes, it's definitely in my top 5. It does kind of have, towards the end... a kind of a whoa.
Really?
Yeah. Because initially the story is about this guy who has a mask on his face. And he wakes up and he has amnesia. And so he's taken in by this youngish girl who brings him back to her village. And he's a very peaceful soul, but he has no idea who he is, what the deal is going on. And so the girl's grandmother, who's a healer, is able to help him sort of recover from his wounds, and she has a younger sister, and he kind of becomes sort of kind of a father figure to the younger girl, but the one that's in the middle that's kind of, again, for the anime world, right on the cusp of legal.
That barely legal, like those porns that everyone likes to watch but doesn't want to admit to watching.
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah.
Starts developing feelings. For him, and isn't quite sure where that all goes, and they're in a land that's kind of in between a struggle for independence and just kind of wanting to exist and be a peaceful nation. And so the land goes to war in little pockets, and it just kind of divulges from there of basically being a story of what and when and how is a war just. At what point, you know, is it okay to defend yourself? And the struggle that people have internally when inherently good people are called to do inherently bad things. And basically the ripples that sends throughout. And then you get a little further down into it and some other things pop up and you're like, wait, what? He's a what? She did what? Wait, huh? I don't get it. Oh, wait, I do get it. Oh?
Stars in the sky, see? Aliens.
And then
yeah.
You get towards the end and you're like, oh. Well, that's the end of that. So I won't give it away. I won't spoil it for anybody. What
Please
I will
don't,
say,
what I will say is this,
you need to watch it. It's a good one. I really enjoy it. It has enough of the poignant emotional moments, and then it does have some lighter moments that are fun, but they're not like saccharine fun.
Okay.
Like, there are a couple of times where there are accidents where people trip and fall and land on top of each other in a position that looks like a sexual position. And
everyone's got their clothes on and right. The camera's kind of up their crotch.
And there, everybody's paused for a few seconds too long where it's like, you know, if we were naked, it'd be okay, but you're not saying that and I'm not saying that. So I'm going to blush and I'm going to try and jump off you.
Was there a nosebleed?
There's no nosebleeds. So okay. It's not, like I said, it's not that...
All right.
Saccharine-y over-the-top thing, but I say Utaware Ramono is one of those series that if I could find it in a box set, I would buy. And I don't buy a lot of box sets.
No, she doesn't.
I will typically rent things, I will stream them over the internet, and I'm starting to do more series if I can get first and second arcs or things in their totality digitally. So I can watch them over my server, but I would purchase Utaware Ramono. That's how much I enjoyed it.
She would spend her monies.
I would come up out of pocket for Utaware Ramono. So thank you for bringing it to our attention, Dunker. And like I said, it's definitely a great series. I enjoyed it. I think that anybody that enjoys series like... I don't want to say Lane because it's not that technical edge, but if you could imagine the struggle and all the internal stuff of Lane in the country.
So it's like Bonnie Remini, but without angels?
Kinda. More Rurouni Kenshin without blood.
What?
Although there are some battles where some people do die, and then there is blood. So it's not as much blood as Kenshin.
Don't you miss animes where people died?
I do. That's why I started trying to finish Salty Ray, because I forgot to so many people died.
Now all these animes are coming out where people get beat the fuck out of, but no one dies anymore.
Well, it's because they're trying to make them soft for the West.
Damn, 4 kids.
Well, it's true, though. They're making them softer so that they can air on Cartoon Networks and... get a shot at getting distribution deals.
But that's what filler arcs are for.
No, but still, you've got to have something that's presentable to sell to a network to begin with. And there's no better network as far as going after kids as Disney. And so if you want to get a shot at Buena Vista picking you up, damn sure better not kill anybody. Oh. Unless it's somebody's parents and it happened before the series starts. And we only reference it in a flashback.
Bambi's story. And then you read it, like, and Bambi's mom died. Now you play the game.
And since we're on the tangent of Disney...
They're going to be there, too.
Well, Disney's going to be there, and I'm looking forward to talking to Disney about the games. But I got to go completely someplace else here. Okay? Disney. New animated feature flick. Okay? Hand-drawn. Like, back Snow White days.
Yeah, and it's a black princess.
Black princess.
Yep.
So
I knew about that like a year ago. Where the fuck have you been?
Here's the thing, though. I didn't know that they were actually going to release it.
Because,
you know...
Yeah, because the chick from Number One Ladies Detective Agency, not the fat one, but the thin one, is doing the voice for the princess. The Antika Rose, na-na-na-na-na. She's also in Dreamgirls.
Anika Noni Rose.
Yeah, that lady.
Disney, thank you for finally making a feature-length film... with black people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only 2009. But thank you. No. And they're not evil. They're the main characters. Now, in watching the trailer, the prince that she's supposed to kiss and turn back into a prince, he's kind of a player. He's kind of a douchebag.
And so
but here's the thing. I'm guessing that through the story, he starts to realize...
He turns in his player's card.
Right. You know.
But he's a frog! So who is he playing?
He's trying to game the princess into kissing him.
Oh.
So that he could turn back into a prince.
And be a player prince and not just be Right.
Like when she's
who's playing the prince? Do we know?
I can't remember. But anyway, like...
Is it some black guy?
Can I get my thought out?
Yes.
Thank you. So at the in the trailer, at the point where she's like, okay, wait, what do you need me to do? And so he starts flipping through the book. He's like, see, look, on this page, I'm a frog, and the princess kisses me, and then I go back to being a prince. He goes, so I just need you to kiss me. And it doesn't have to be a long kiss. He's like, unless you want it to go on forever. And she's like, okay, one little kiss. And see, I told you, he's kind of a douchebag. But
sorry, I'd be like, frog legs, anyone?
But I'm really excited to see not only a feature-length animated film that features black characters as the main characters.
Is the bad guy white?
No, he's a witch doctor.
Oh, of course.
Come on, they're down in...
It's Disney.
It's Disney.
It's Disney.
It's Disney.
They're
making strides, okay? So we've got to give them props.
Yes,
where props are due. Okay?
Capcom, good job with a black supporting character. Disney, great for making a black princess, finally, and making her a main character.
Good-looking, sweet, strong black woman princess. Okay, thank you for that. Double thank you for it being a feature-length film that's going to theaters, not direct to DVD.
Yeah, good point. Like
and being hand-drawn, like Disney movies are supposed to be.
I know.
I blame Pixar for that, and I owe you
but
guys
Pixar
a drink.
Pixar is still awesome. We can't...
No. This is definitely influenced by the Pixar team to go back to, you know, some of the hand-drawing stuff. Let the Pixar...
Okay, good. Thank you, Pixar.
Stuff. So, Pixar, John Lasseter, thank you. Thank you.
I like John Lasseter. He likes Japanese people.
Well, he was a Disney guy for a long time before he went to Pixar. So he's bringing Disney back.
Yep.
See, now I
yes,
did
he
it.
Yes, he is. Yep, now you did it.
So we're balanced now. But thank you.
Trying to find a balance.
Thank you for that. Now, with that said, I would like to see the game industry follow along. And can I please get a strong sister as the lead character of a game?
Hey,
pretty please.
Was pretty awesome.
But she wasn't a lead character.
No, but
you could play at her, but she wasn't a lead character. Can I please get a franchise around a sister?
Chris didn't even bang her.
Okay? I mean, Crackdown, the main guy, was, you know, a black dude, but you're blowing up the whole fucking city and taking out gangs. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of story there or a whole lot of empathy there. I mean, you pretty much just jump around on a bunch of stuff and you blow
like,
shit
we
up.
Want subplots. Intrusive subplots.
And
we
I,
want
Can I please
story.
Get a Lara Croft type character?
No!
Hold on!
No.
Will you hold on? Can I please get a Lara Croft type character? Because there's no denying that Lara Croft is smart. She's educated.
She's got
She's
money!
She's agile.
Her mother's a freaking god thing. Sort of.
Kinda.
Maybe.
Made it, possibly, in Avalon. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Or do we? Don't know.
Or it could be like half goddess for all we know.
Hey!
Unless Calypso's getting boom, boom, chicky, chicky with some human men to make biracial half goddess baby things.
I don't know what crack you're on today, but you should really not take that again. But I would just like a strong, smart, sassy, but not ghetto sassy.
Nah, when the bitch gets angry, she needs to be ghetto.
No, she doesn't need to be ghetto.
No,
that's the thing.
No.
She doesn't have to snap her neck.
No, but she can ice a bitch.
Yes, she can ice a bitch, but that's not
like,
ghetto. That's taking
kablow!
Care of business. Okay, but if she actually put on a gun and be like, kablow, motherfucker, I would not play that game. So get back on the boat here. Can I please?
The banana boat?
No. What is wrong with you?
I need to eat.
Obviously, but I need a strong female character that I can identify with. I need somebody that's smart. I need somebody that, you know, can figure out a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, guys? She can have big boobs, okay?
She better have big fucking titties.
I'm just gonna keep going. I don't have a problem with her having a ridiculously tiny waist and big hips and big
boobs. Girls gotta have curves.
Okay, but let's not make her have
Hell, let's give her a muffin top, for Christ's sake. Let's be realistic.
No, because guys are not going to want to play a character that has a muffin top. She's got to be sexy in order for guys to play her. And I get that. And guys, I don't think any less of you for that. But no, can I please either. Get her?
Can she please have a high IQ higher than Broccoli's?
Can her IQ be larger than her bra size?
Whoa. That's pushing it a little bit.
No, it's really not.
I'm joking. I am joking,
okay,
Ninja. It will happen one day. It will.
Can it happen before, you know, I'm of
let's,
age
let's
to have
put
grandchildren?
Let's put it on our Christmas list for Santa to do.
All right. I'm going to write that right now. Strong female.
Black female.
League game.
Be nice.
Guns. No whips.
What's wrong with whip?
No, because if you do whips, then they'll try to make her like Eartha Kitt. And don't get me wrong, I love Eartha Kitt, but I don't want a Catwoman game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got you.
See?
No whips.
No whips. Okay, guns are good, swords are better.
Can she fight the government?
That'd be fine. Okay, conspiracy fighter, that's cool.
Yeah.
Pretty much what you got is, I would like a Bourne Supremacy game, but with a female
with
black woman.
With a black female Matt
Damon.
That's
what I would like, please.
With boobs.
Thank you, Santa.
Thank you, Santa.
So, pretty much, visit us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is?
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written in the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you have some business for us, or you just want to shoot us some chit-chat, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of our podcast airing weekly on Monday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. You can also listen to some other really interesting and entertaining shows over there, like Dead Pixel Live.
Or Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Evil Avatar.
Or Video Game Outsiders.
Ultimate Quest.
And don't forget Bobby Blackwolf's show and Friday Night Gaming.
There's a lot of really, really fun stuff over there. We love being part of the community, so definitely bounce over there at allgames.com. Check out some of the other shows and people in the community, and let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you.
Because we did.
So
and if we didn't, in your mind, we'd still did it anyway.
Y'all done now?
Yep.
Is that the end of your thought?
Yep.
Okay, well then I'm going to have to call this podcast Toast.
Yeah, it's toast.
So what are you doing with your toast?
I'm going to cut out a massive E and a massive 3 out of my toast. And I'm not going to eat it.
How massive is it going to be if we're talking piece of toast?
Well, the whole doughy part of the bread. No crust, man.
I see.
So And then I'm going to put some mayonnaise on them and put some cheese and some meat of some kind and make an E3 sandwich.
But you said you weren't going to eat it, so you're going to make a sandwich.
But now that I'm putting cheese and meat...
You've changed
in it,
your mind.
I have to put it in my mouth.
So you're gonna make an E3 sandwich and you're gonna put it in your mouth.
Yes, I am.
All right, folks, that's what she said.
I'm putting it in my mouth. What are you gonna do with yours?
I can't believe you said that. Me, I'm gonna take my toast and I think yet again because I'm really hungry, I'm gonna make some bruschetta.
Ugh.
Dude, it's delicious. You can't
do something fucking cool with your toast. You do the lamest things with your toast.
Dude, I don't have to make sandwiches out of letters with my toast because you do that. So I don't want to steal your thunder and one-up you.
You couldn't.
So while you're doing that, I could. I could make an Xbox game controller out of my toast and
you
then
could
use
do that. You can't draw.
Yes, I can carve. I can carve a mofo. So I could do that, but I'm not going to do that. I don't want to steal your thunder. So I'm going to kick back in the background and just make some bruschetta.
All right, fine. Can I have some?
No.
Why?
Because you went and made this big deal, and now I'm not going to share.
Whatever. I love you.
Uh-huh. Love you, too. All right, so I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we're out of here, guys.
Peace.
Bye.